Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hey, and a holler and a ring around the collar. Welcome to a brand new Good Game, Nice Try. It's least favorite intro, the cowboy intro. I think Jen and Sonia absolutely hate it, but I do it anyway. Yeehaw! Happy Friday.
I just never know. I never know what direction it's going to go.
But you do know it's going to be a bad direction. Sonia Reed, my esteemed co-host, how are you doing on this lovely Friday afternoon?
I'm big chilling.
Okay.
Playing a lot of Pokemon.
Whoa.
Nothing too crazy.
Which one?
The huge.
Which Pokemon?
Which poke? As the insiders say.
What do they say? Which pokey? Which pokey you playing? What do they say? What do the kids say?
That's what they say. Keep going.
Okay.
Which model?
Which mons? I'm having a stroke. Call an ambulance.
I don't know if he's stroking out or dipping out of the Zoom call, but the new one, the Pokemon Legends.
Right. Don't you think with new Pokemon games, they're just like, what should we call this one? I don't know. Pick a cool word. Pokemon Epic. Pokemon Rectangular. Pokemon Dodecahedron. Pokemon Emotions. Pokemon Love. It goes on forever. What makes Pokemon Legends legendary?
Honestly, okay, so it's kind of, I'm going to say something and then I'm going to almost immediately redact it. I feel like it's the Pokemon game that I've been wanting for a really long time.
Okay.
Because it is like an open world Pokemon game. You can literally run around this entire map and just go and catch Pokemon at your will. Asterisk.
Okay.
So on paper, it seems like the Pokemon game that, and I'm such a sucker for like grindy games.
I love the
grind. If I can go out, spend like 5 hours and just, you know, beat my Pokemon to hell and make them super strong, I feel like that's my ideal. That's my ideal. However, I don't want to have a huge beef with a game that is literally made for a much younger audience, but...
Sounds like there's beef. Beef is a-coming.
I'm about to serve it up. It is so hand-holdy. And the dialogue is so painful that getting through the first like hour of intros is like mind-numbingly painful.
So maybe not. So
maybe
it
not so
like,
legendary.
Well, when they say legendary, maybe they just mean legendary exposition. It was originally the working title was Pokemon Unnecessary, but then changed it to Legendary to talk about the exposition. What makes it legendary, dude? That sounds like it should be called Pokemon World.
That's a better summary. I feel like Legend was pushing it a little too far.
Legend seems like Legend. If it's going to be Legend, bring back all the greatest hits of Pokemon. Don't make a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, I feel like, you.
Call it what it is. You're just naming things arbitrarily. Pokemon Blue, Pokemon Yellow, Pokemon Mauve, Pokemon Teal. I don't care.
I'm still waiting for Teal, to be honest.
At least Pokemon Go had go outside.
That made sense.
Walk around. Only Pokemon that made sense to me.
What would you retitle this one then? Just World or?
If you're walking around in a giant world, call it Pokemon World. What's the big deal?
It makes sense. Yep.
What's the big deal? What are they going to call the greatest hits now? Pokemon Legends 2? More Legends? You know?
Well, it's like, what's the album where it's like a greatest hits volume, whatever.
Right.
Why don't we just take that format?
Yeah, just call it, now that's what I call Pokemon, Volume 18.
Volume 18.
It just doesn't make any sense to me, you know? Like, it's just, anyway.
I feel you.
I'm sorry. I've never been into Pokemon and I never will be.
And
I don't
care. You know what? That's the first, as soon as I started playing this game, I think it was honestly like 45 minutes in, the first, one of the first thing I thought of was, I don't think that Aaron would ever, if Aaron was to ever play a Pokemon game, this would be the last one, because it would be the reason why he would, you would be like, yes, this is why I don't like Pokemon. It's one of the first things I thought of.
The thing is, here's why you think I would like Pokemon. I love cute little things.
Yeah.
I love a Mewtwo. Mm-hmm. I love a Squirtle.
Oh,
I
mean, wait, see, he knows his Pokemon?
I know Charizard. I know these things. But the thing is, I think it turns me off because it's like, what is the story behind Pokemon?
You got to be the very best. Like no one ever has.
Pokemon generic. That is the most generic story you could ever tell. Just be the best.
Catch
Fuck
them
you.
All. Well, no, you don't. You don't have to. You also have to catch them all. You can't. You have to be the best and catch them all. That's a high bar.
I don't know. It sounds like like that's not a story. That's an action. That's a goal.
So is
that's my point, dude. My point is with Pokemon, you would think I would like it, but the story is just lacking, man. And for me, in games, story is key. Absolutely key for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, look, not to come up with the perfect segue, but that's why I'm excited about our guest today, because our guest is Daniel Mullins, who is the game developer behind Inscription. And Inscription, to me, is top five games of all time, but it told a story that was compelling in a unique way. And to me, it is very much the opposite of Pokemon. Inscription also deals with a lot of animals that are really weird. Mantis God, Stoat, you know, like the weird, I don't know, flying grizzly bear amalgam thing that's a lizard, but it's also a fish. And you would think it is kind of like Pokemon, but it's where storytelling and weird animals meet back on the other side. And that, to me, is why it's such a fantastic game. And Pokemon just doesn't get there for me.
I feel it.
So anyway, but I am very excited today. Again, Daniel Mullins is our guest. He's the game dev behind Pony Island, The Hex, and Inscription. And I just want to say this up top. Everyone listening, if you want a truly unforgettable gaming experience, stop listening to this episode and go get Inscription. It's fantastic. Yes. If you go in blind, you have to go in blind. It's the best. But it opens up in ways that were completely unexpected to me. I beat it in 3 days. I was obsessed with it. I still am. But we are going to spoil the crap out of this game. So it is going to be very spoilery because part of the joy of this game and what we wanted to talk to Daniel Mullins about was like, how do you come up with this? How do you come up with a way to tell a story that's so unique and brilliant? And to do that, we had to spoil the whole game. So please go play Inscription. You will not regret it. I absolutely loved it. And like I said, Pony Island and The Hex, his other two games, also fantastic. Also break the boundaries of what it is possible in video games and storytelling and break down genres in a really fun, unique way. And so that's it. I don't know. I got to say, Pokemon, bad. Inscription, good. Here's our interview with Daniel Mullins. Hello, sir. Thank you for being here.
Hey, yeah. Great to be here.
Now, I want to start with a very quick anecdote. You know, Sonny and I have a lot of our favorite people on this podcast. It's basically, Sonny, wouldn't you agree, this is just kind of an excuse for us to have our favorite, most inspiring figures in gaming to talk to?
Yeah, we'll pick some favorites, and it's a nice excuse to talk to people.
Yeah. So we're talking to Ken Levine, who created, you know, BioShock and BioShock Infinite. Yeah. And, you know, obviously, you know, a titan in gaming, titan. And we were talking to him about what is inspiring him for his new project and what kind of the kinds of games he looks forward to the most and what excites him the most. And he brought up something I never heard of, this game called Inscription.
Wow, that's the first I've heard that he played it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And not only did he say he played it, he's like, I absolutely love it. He's like, it's so inspiring. And I play a lot of indie games and, you know, I'm on itch.io and all this other stuff. And I never heard of Inscriptions. Of course, Ken Levine is like, he's loving this game. I gotta tear this thing open.
Yeah.
And for the next 3 days and nights, don't tell Conan that I wasn't sleeping while working for him, but I totally enraptured with Inscription. I mean, I bought like 15, 16 copies, sent it to everyone I know.
Nice.
It is and truly like not only as a game, but just as a piece of art and a piece of entertainment. I think it stands tall among, you know, everything else that's being done out there. And I just want to, and so thank you for being here.
Of course, yeah.
And I really just wanted to kind of pick your brain today about not just Inscription, but your process, what inspires you and all these other things. So, you know, I know because I'm insane and did a ton of Googling that Inscription kind of originally came from something you made for a game jam. So could you talk a little bit about that? And for people who don't know what a game jam is, maybe explain what that is.
Sure. Yeah. It's just a community of people who make a game in a short period of time. It doesn't have to be a weekend, though a lot of them are around that time frame. Sometimes it's a week or even a month. And usually you get a theme, something to a prompt that could inspire your ideas, but you're pretty free to go from there. And then I like the ones where there's like at least a little bit of a competitive aspect where at the end of it, everyone who made a game rates other people's games. And then you kind of get rated on different categories, like how good the art is and audio and innovation and stuff. Sacrifices Must Be Made was the original version of Inscription that was done for the Ludum Dare game jam, which was a 2-day one that I did. And it got really good feedback. And so like not only within the jam, but even afterwards, as it just sat on itch.io, I would get tons of comments and downloads on it. And that was kind of unique as far as my game jam projects go. Usually they're mostly looked at during the time of the jam. And then after that, it's kind of over. But this one kept getting traction. So I thought there was something.
Yeah. And, you know, Ludum Dare has been around for a while. That's been a game jam that's been around for a hot minute.
Yeah.
When did you first get involved, or what was your first inspiration to be like, you know what, I'm going to jump into this game jam. I'm going to try it out. And what were early ones like versus how you approach it now?
Yeah. My inspiration for doing it was a roommate that I had in university, and he was always in his room toying around with Unity, and he would like, hey, look at this. And I'd be just amazed by what he was doing. And so I was so inspired by that. And I thought I would try doing game jam. The first one I ever did was the Reddit hosted one called Bacon Game Jam. And I did a game about zebras ordering smoothies for some reason. And you like put the fruit in and make a smoothie. And then, but the first Ludum Dare one I did was, I actually did really well on the first one. I got second place for the humor category. I had a strong start. but it was like a Japanese game show with like physics games that they're kind of like a WarioWare kind of thing with physics games, but wrapped in the idea of a Japanese game show. And I actually brutally cheated, and I still feel bad about it. I didn't know about the rule about not using public domain music in the certain category. So I just used Kevin MacLeod and Computech, you know, the like really popular public domain music site. I used one of those music tracks in the game, and then everyone told me that I had cheated. And so I removed myself from the audio category, but I still felt a little slimy about it because it made the whole game better to have the music. It wasn't just audio that I, but so that was my first experience in Ludum Dare.
I mean, it's a strong start.
Yeah.
It's a strong start. So now, how many have you been to? Like, how long ago was the first one, and how many have you entered since?
Yeah, I think it was about 8 years ago or so that I did that first one. And I think I've done about 10, 11. And then I got first place. It's weird, but I think it was last year or the year before. And I got number one overall in the compo category, which means that you did it 2 days and you did it by yourself. So that was an exciting achievement after doing it so many times.
It's a big feat.
Yeah.
Now, what is kind of your, because making games is for somebody like me, really difficult. What is your strategy or thoughts going into a game jam to have such a short, a short time to do so much?
I guess the strategy is just to use tools that I know really well and that I already use every day. So I'm not going to be getting stuck on anything and wasting time. It's going to be just like, I'm going to be going the entire time. And I usually spend the first few hours in Photoshop kind of mocking up a visual style, or like kind of making the scene that is going to predominate the game visually. And then if it's good, that's great. And if it's not, I still don't have much time, so I just have to go with it. And so then I take the art assets and start to get them working in Unity. And that's usually how I start. And I just cram the next 2 days full of, yeah.
So you make Sacrifices Must Be Made. It comes out really well. Mm-hmm. You do the hex, which is fantastic. I'm about maybe like probably, I'm guessing like a fifth of the way through, but it's fantastic. And then you kind of finish the hex. And so you're looking at your next game and you look back at Sacrifices Must Be Made and you're like, I guess maybe I should try to develop this further. What was your process in creating what becomes Inscription? Because Inscription to me, again, just opens up, has so many doorways you go through and you're just like, oh my God, I didn't realize this house had a whole nother wing of a house. And so what was that process like, taking Sacrifices Must Be Made and trying to expand it?
Well, it kind of happened slowly over the whole course of the whole kind of roughly 3 year development. Because when I started making Sacrifice Must Be Made bigger, my original thought was I was going to make what's called a post-jam version, which is like, it's the game jam game, but it's some of those rough edges cleaned up with a bit more time, made a few more cards. And that was the first step. And then I had the idea to make my next big project be a collection of three smaller games. And I thought this Sacrifice Must Be Made, which would be one of those, because I didn't really see how it could be a huge thing that would, you know, be my next big project. But then I was just really enjoying making it into a roguelike, which just seemed like a good way to kind of expand it. And I started to have ideas on how it could get bigger and bigger. And then eventually I had the idea of the part two and part three. And then I realized at that point that this could definitely be a big project worthy of my complete attention for the whole time. And then later on, it was further in that I added the video. I only started shooting that in the last year. And so it just bit by bit kind of sprawled out.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to ask you about. So, you know, obviously, we said this in the intro, but major spoilers ahead for Inscription. I feel like it is a game that benefits from going in completely blind, just because it has so many what the actual fuck is happening in this game. And that first moment is where you beat Leshy. You're like, oh my God, and there's weird stuff happening that, you know, all of a sudden the cabin disappears and you're looking at a series of real life videos of a person, a human being, opening packets of cards on, like, he's making a fucking YouTube video. And my blood started coming out of my eyes. I was like, what is happening? And so immediately I'm in, I'm seeing this guy open packets of cards. And then it transforms into a whole other game. And that was kind of part of my question, where when it's interesting to hear you talk about the fact you were going to make it a couple other games, because it does feel like, you know, you have PO3's game later on. Was it immediately apparent how you're going to tie them all together? And what was kind of your inspiration in doing so?
Yeah, it wasn't that clear how I would tie them all together. I think the...
Because it fits really well. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's the overarching story. It's like, I could almost see you writing it all out first and then going back. So, yeah.
I think that's kind of an illusion that I create. And I'm happy that you think that, because I worry about how it would all fit together. I usually like make these very different things and then I try to tie them. I like think of it as a metaphor, like tying them the rope together somehow that they could all stick together. And that usually it just involves, once I have these disparate things that I think are cool, trying to just think of ways to constantly bring one element from one into the other, have a common thing between them. And that's why the video story of Luke it really appealed to me when I figured that later, that it would be something that would unify, like a wrapper around it all, kind of. It's building little parts that I think are cool, and then later finding ways to bring them together.
I think you've done it pretty seamlessly, yeah. at least from this end.
Yeah.
This was a game where, you know, from the very beginning, like I knew that this was a game that was going to fuck with me.
Yeah.
But I love how it has a lot of themes that are very like meta, like creepy pasta, internet sort of something that just keeps on giving and keeps on evolving, which, you know, it has similar themes in Pony Island and The Hex, where it is kind of like that dark, creepy. They're never as they seem.
Mm-hmm.
Are there games that you've played throughout your life, or is it just being like a, you know, growing up being a kid on the internet, reading one too many creepypastas, or what do you think influenced a lot of these themes in your games?
Yeah, I think there were games I played along the way that I was drawing from. Portal being a big one, because I had gone into that blind and thinking it was just a puzzle game with the orange box. I was getting the orange box because I loved Team Fortress 2 and I wanted to play it on my Xbox. And then the Portal came along with this guy, okay, whatever, I'll try this. And then it really blew my mind at the time. And I think another one in that vein that I got to be completely surprised by was Frog Fractions, the original one. So those definitely left a mark. There's a really, I think I mentioned this once or twice before, but there's this really silly old flash-based browser game called Motherlode. And it was a similar thing where you're a drilling machine on some kind of planet. And it's kind of like, forget the Nintendo game where you drill.
Dig Dug?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And then it turns out that the corporation who's employing you is run by the devil. So like, obviously you can see Pony Island, a similarity there. And that was another surprise that I loved. So yeah, I think those are the ones that come to mind. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And especially with Pony Island too. And again, I think all three of these games, The Hex as well, I don't think they could not be games. I think that these are stories that are told at least in such a way where the video game aspect is critical to the enjoyment. I mean, in Pony Island, you know, all the letters of a menu's falling down, you have to spell out like X, you know, to get out of a part, you know, that could only happen in a game, which is great. And especially in Inscription as well. Also, the thing I really loved was that almost like, you know, in Portal, there's that kind of meta commentary on puzzle games. And I think like Inscription is just full of this. You know, you have the four scribes who all have different, you know, different perspectives on life and all these other things. I wanted to bring up something which is crazy awesome, but I'm too dumb to ever properly enjoy it other than watching the YouTube video. And that's the ARG that's involved with Inscription. You know, so for people who don't know, ARGs are, how would you describe, I like to say they're ARGs because it's like, arg, I'm too dumb to figure it out. But they're basically, Inscription kind of spills out into the real world in places because there's, I knew there was, when you see that code that Luke has, I wrote it down and I was like, I'm never going to be able to figure this out. But luckily people on Reddit are very smart. So there's a whole real world component to this where you're putting in clues into the code and all these other things. How, first of all, is that baked in from the beginning? Second of all, how do you test that? How do you test? Because you know where the clue goes. It's real life. It's not like you can just play it over and over. How are you testing an ARG?
Well, that's a good question. I can't really test it. And as a result, I never know how hard I made something. And I luckily have some experience because I've done a similar thing for Pony Island and Hex, and that's the best way I can do it. But for Inscription, I tried to make it really hard and I was still, I mean, people liked it, but I was a little disappointed with how quickly it all got wrapped up and resolved because I thought I was making it insanely difficult. Like one of the clues was I used an old Reddit post I had made so many years ago, and there was very little that would ever lead you to it.
But Reddit will find it. Reddit will find it.
There was something, where there was like a card you had made in another game that was like a dolphin, and then that shape, like the hex number for the color. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, and some of the things are, if I don't do a good enough job designing it, they'll kind of find the answer in the wrong way. And so it can be, or sometimes there's a coincidence where they find the right answer the wrong way, and it seems like they did this crazy thing, but really the solution was not quite as wild.
What's an exact? Do you have an exact?
Well, there's a pretty funny one where I one of the clues for the ciphers and to decipher the secret message inscription was floor. It basically spelled out floor. And so what I had done was hidden numbers in the floor textures, like really tiny numbers. So you had to open up the textures and spend image viewer and then search for the numbers. And they were in different floors, like, and in the order they appeared, like the wood cabin floor, and then one of the pixel art ones, and then the factory PO3. And so I thought that was great. And I thought that would take them a while, which is kind of what I want, to kind of give it some space. So it isn't just like, boom, we're done. So I wanted to make it really hard, but then I foolishly, because I wanted to make the number be relevant in some way, I reused a number that I had used at Pony Island just so it felt like, oh, what's that mean? And so when they guessed upon it, they were using this old Pony Island number. So they didn't need to find the floor textures at all. But then they justified their finding by saying it was in the game and it was in these roof texture in the pixel art cabin. There's like holes in the roof, and they're trying to say that it just so happened that there were like holes in the roof that aligned to some of the numbers, and so they made this justification that I had never
wait the holes in the roof wasn't the real thing.
No, that was not the real thing. Silly me. Well, it's because that number 273 is repeated, so they saw the 273, which is repeated, and then the holes in the roof for the other two digits in that password, that was a total coincidence.
A happy accident.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's funny because, you know, you say that they solved it a little bit quicker than you had anticipated. Mm-hmm. But I remember stumbling upon a Google Doc for the ARG and just scrolling through it.
Yeah.
It seems endless.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of work put into figuring that out.
And yet, I kind of enjoy like following along with them. But then I just wake up and they'd be like, oh yeah, we just did. Like, oh, I mean, like, come on, man.
You're like, way behind.
I think I was trying to take some time off, and I took some time off for a weekend. And I thought when I came back on Monday that it would still be going. But when I came back on Monday, they're like, no. Friday night, it was all over. It's done.
Oh my God. So
like, well.
Like, well,
that's wild.
Yeah.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
You know, going into this game and playing through, I'm a huge Magic the Gathering fan. And the way that I looked at building my deck and kind of constructing things as I go, I like my wolves. I'm a wolf lady. Yeah. I like having them play off each other and have their strengths play together. But if you, well, what are you drawn towards? Like, if you are playing, are there certain characters or certain creatures that you're drawn towards, or certain, you know, abilities? And also, if you had to be a card, what would you be?
What's your death?
And you're talking about inscription, not magic, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Inscription. Well, I guess it would be more like, what did I enjoy making the most? I guess if I'm playing it, I don't play it that much in an enjoyment sense. Although it was interesting that when I first kind of did turn some knobs and got Casey's mod going, I actually did find that I was able to genuinely enjoy the game because it was just fresh enough for me with those things changed.
Nice.
But that kind of wore off pretty quickly.
And I started weeping again.
Yeah. But I usually just try to find cool sigil combinations. What did I enjoy making the most, just cards that have really good flavor to them, where the ability matches the card really well. I'm trying to think of like a good example of that, or even just something like simple, like the beaver just makes dams. Like, just is something satisfying about making a card like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite like storytelling tricks or tropes in anything, gaming or movies, TV, any of that stuff?
Trying to think, I think there's it might be hard to describe, but it's kind of a trope of like a weird character. I see it in Rick and Morty, where there's like sort of a weird character that seems to be kind of based on something, but then perverted in a way that you're not sure anymore. It's hard to describe. Like, I remember like the character Aberdolf Linkler in the season one of Rick and Morty, where it's like, yes, he's based on Hitler and Abraham Lincoln, but he's also just kind of like weird. Like, there's details about him that aren't from either of them. Like, why did they do that? And so I like that kind of idea where like I'll take like it's like a fantasy character. I'm borrowing from the trope of a wizard, but then let's just like do stuff to obscure that and just weirden it up a bit.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. And also like, it's such an interesting thing because I do think there are echoes as well, you know, in a lot of the work you've done that kind of, I think one of the reasons why I also enjoy that trope is because it kind of winks at the audience and treats the audience as intelligent. Mm-hmm. It's not talking down to us. It's like saying, okay, you know who Hitler is, you know who Abraham Lincoln is. So we already know that. And then I'm going to take that to another level, which is really great. And I think your games as well really speak to me as an audience member and is trusting that I'm smart enough to figure it out or know kind of what you're doing, you know, which I absolutely love. How did it all start for you? Like, what was your first gaming experience? Like,
I think my first real gaming experience would have been the Pokemon Red and Blue Game Boy Color. I was kind of introduced to it through this family friend, and I went over to their house and one of the older kids was playing it on the Game Boy, and we were all like gathered around and we're trying to like, he would say, what do you want to do next? And I wasn't even like looking at the screen, but I found it so cool to be like, oh, you should buy a Pokeball, or you should do this. And then from then on, I started like a campaign with my parents to get me one. And then I think on my birthday, we got that. And so I was completely obsessed with that.
I don't mean to divide the internet here, but your starter Pokemon?
It's weird, actually. I don't, now that you say that, I don't know if I really remember. I think Squirtle, but I think I picked Squirtle because I got blue version and it felt right, but I don't
like, actually, I'm just sticking to the theme.
Yeah.
I was never a I don't like card game. I'm not a Pokemon guy. Give me Mantis God all day over. Yeah. Mantis guy could shred any maybe not Charizard, but could shred.
Could at least stand up tall against them.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Exactly. Well, how about if you were to create your own game jam and start that, what would the Daniel Mullins game jam be? What would some of the rules be? What would some kind of games you would like to see?
Geez. I don't know. Maybe like perverting older games, like that'd be kind of cool. Just like twisted Pokemon, twisted Zelda, like
twisted Metal Black. Yeah. It's twisted back to just be like a normal car game.
Yeah.
No, it's just metal.
It's just metal. Yeah.
That's it.
It's untwisted. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're just driving around an ice cream truck, giving ice cream to kids. Is there anything, are you working on something new? I'm sure you can't say anything about it if you are, seeing Pony Island and then the Hex and Inscription, are we going to see any PO3, any little nuggets in this new?
Oh, probably, yeah. I think I like doing that at least to some degree. So I think the next game will have little nods to Inscription for sure.
It does feel like you're creating this whole Daniel Mullins world, which is fantastic. Yeah.
The DMU.
Well, I saw someone on Reddit say the Mullins verse, and then I couldn't get it out of my head.
Yes! It's the Mullins verse.
But it's also, I don't know if I want the pressure of that, because if do they really all, like, how do I justify these things being the same universe?
But see, I think it's the, I would say, I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like you don't have to, it's you have justified it by making three games.
Yeah, and I'll let them figure out how they.
Yeah, well, exactly like the floor, right? The floor tiles versus the ceiling, you know, the roof tiles.
They'll make the connections.
People will make those connections. And I think it is so cool that you've created kind of this universe a little bit that fits together. Also, I'd urge everyone listening to go to Daniel's Discord. It's really great. You have such a cool, vibrant Discord.
It has expanded in orders of magnitude after inscription. Yeah. It's kind of shocking.
It's fantastic. My goodness. Well, I hate to say it. I think we're almost out of time, unfortunately. Yeah. But you know, we love to end. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
truly. And you know, we love to end every interview with asking our guest their favorite game and their least favorite game. So you know, not objectively, but just to you, a game you just can't stand, and then we'll end on your favorite game.
Okay, the game I can't stand, I'm going to go with, it's not a video game, but Cards Against Humanity. I always disliked it, and especially disliked it because you sometimes go to a social gathering, and I was like, oh, here we go again, Cards Against Humanity. And every time I'd be like, because I just find that it's, I don't find it that funny, and I don't find that it really offers much creativity to you. You only have so many cards, so you don't have that many options. And then, of course, it's not competitive. I don't need a game to be competitive as long as it offers like a fun creative challenge, like a telephone Pictionary, if you know those games where you like draw something and the next person writes it and then draws it. Like, it's no competition, but that's hilarious and creative. But this is neither. So that's my rant about Cards Against Humanity.
I feel you though. As soon as you see the cards like a handful of times, you're like, okay, like I know what's coming up. I've seen this pooping back and forth forever. I get it. Yeah. Okay.
Like, also, I agree, like, in terms of not letting people, like we were saying earlier, like not letting the audience be intelligent, like kind of talking down to them a bit. I feel like Cards Against Humanity does that in spades. It kind doesn't give you any room. It's just like,
it's kind of like if it is funny, it's because the card was already inherently funny and you just happened to draw it. Anyway, enough bragging on this game.
Anyway, hour three of our rant against Cards Against Humanity. All right, so let's end on a high note. What is the game you absolutely love and why?
I was just thinking I might stick on the non-digital and go with a card game I've really been enjoying called Wingspan. It's a card/board game about creating a bird, I don't know what you call it, a bird reservoir or something. And so but it sounds like kind of like fluffy and nice, but it's actually very technical, and you kind of create these lineups of birds that combo together in different ways. There's a digital version too, but I mostly play the physical version. So I'll go with Wingspan.
Wait a second. So in Wingspan, why am I creating my team of birds?
Well, it's like there's a word for this. It's like, it's conservation. It's like a wildlife preserve. I think that's what you'd call it. So you're creating a wildlife preserve. So the birds are kind of living on it. And as to why they combo together, I guess that's a bit abstract. But I mean, it's still like the mechanics are represented with bird things. Like they lay eggs and use the eggs and so on. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that. Wow.
So do you find that you more so lean into like physical games, like board games and card games, as opposed to video games?
I think I just like both. And this one, I guess this one is a video game too. And my partner got it after we played the physical version a lot, and it's a worthy digital like board game. It's really good. So I'd recommend getting the digital or physical version. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, again, you know, I have to say, like, before Inscription, I was not a card game fan, and now I love it. So I gotta pick that up. That's great. Yeah. Fantastic. And hopefully it won't be cursed in real life, and it won't go into my dreams. And
I think this one is pretty uncursed. It's quite wholesome. Yeah.
That's exactly
so far.
That's
what they want you to think. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I see
then the Canada Goose combo comes along.
Okay. Oh, he's got the Canada Goose deck. The Goose deck is the worst. Well, Daniel Mullins, thank you again. And please, everyone, play Inscription. play Pony Island, play the Hex. These are fantastic games that really truly do elevate the genre to a higher art form.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks to Daniel Mullins. That was fantastic. I've already ordered Wingspan and I can't wait to play. If he could create magic out of a card game with animals, and he's saying, here's a game I like that's a card game with animals, mm-hmm. you have my money. So I've already ordered Wingspan. And again, thank you to Daniel Mullins for showing up, and please go play Inscription. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Boo Pokemon.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're back, and it's time for my favorite thing, your favorite thing, our favorite thing, Game Book Club. That's right. We are playing a game with you, and that game is Firewatch. Ladies, it's installment 2 of our Firewatch Game Book Club. How are we doing? What do we think? Where are we, first of all, in the game?
Well, this is, I will say, it has taken turns that I did not expect going into this game.
Yes.
Completely, and I feel like I'm getting close. I feel like I've got to be around like 80%. I'm definitely nearing the end.
I think I'm around that too. And I just got to the part where something or someone like punches Henry.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That scared the shit out of me. And I almost dropped my Switch on the ground because I just didn't expect it. It terrified me.
My jaw dropped. When that happened.
It was so scary.
Because this is a game where it feels like such a lonely game.
Yes.
In a way. Like you are on a radio. You're talking to Delilah. But it's so lonely. And the only other time you like see someone is there like the teens like off in the distance on the lake or like the figure at the top of the hill. So it's not expected.
You don't even see animals. So like.
No.
Yeah, it was very jarring, and I almost broke my Switch because of it. But
I totally agree. I it was a really fun moment of, like, the whole time I've been feeling kind of dread.
Mm-hmm.
But then for something to actually like that happen, I was like, yeah, I screamed. It was, like, crazy. Which is wild because I love – normally, like, jump scares don't get me. And I was like, oh, my God. It was a great moment. The tension is starting to build. I'm starting to get really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I'm wondering, like, what is going to happen? Like, how is this going to all resolve? Like, it feels wild what's going on.
Yeah.
And once again, big shout out to the music. Graphics mm-hmm. are beautiful. I'm just loving the voice acting. Really, great. Although I will say, I don't know if you guys are feeling this way. I feel like it's, like, pushing me towards trying to like flirt with Delilah and I'm not having it.
That's how I feel. And I don't like it at all.
Same. I'm like, listen, I'm a loyal bitch. I've been trying to like, I picked up my wedding ring. I put it on. Like I'm taking a very respectable route. And yeah, I feel like I am kind of being guided in that
and
way.
And I'm like, back off, Delilah. Like, come on.
Me too. I feel the same way. I'm not liking that, you know? Because there's like some options. I don't know if you guys feel this way, but some of the options are like, okay, it'll give you like 3 things to say to Delilah, like, oh, wish I could see you, or look through my binoculars, you're looking cute, or do you like these shorts? And I just won't answer.
Yeah.
The timer will go down. I just won't answer. And then she'll be like, wait. She's like, wait, what? Did you have something you wanted to tell me? I don't answer.
Like,
you know,
nah,
it's like I
nah,
just say
I'm good.
Nothing. And by the way, that's how I'm in real life. When women
Perfect.
Try to talk to me, I just don't answer, and
you
I'm just
shut
like,
down.
I'll take plastic bags, thank you.
Like, I wonder what would happen if you just went like full on,
just straight
on
into
flirt
Let's
mode.
Get down.
Like, yeah. I wonder. Because it's also really interesting that we all took the same approach.
Yeah, that is funny.
We're all just good people.
Aww.
You know that there's some people playing this game, though, who are like, how do I send a dick pic through a walkie-talkie?
Oh, my
there's
gosh.
There's got to be a way, right?
It's like, hey, Delilah, check this out.
But it's like, yeah, so anyway, I will say I'm not liking that. I'm wondering how the third act is going to, how mm-hmm. they're going to, if they're going to stick the landing, how that's going to go. Because here's the other thing I'll say, which is really interesting and maybe too deconstructy, but, you know, there hasn't been, and to your point, like there hasn't been like any animals, there hasn't been like a lot of movement. So I do wonder, how are they going to ratchet up the tension without showing us like a moving figures or something? Do you know what mm-hmm. I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It's all so far done through dialogue and music and sound effects, but like at some point, right? At some point, someone's going to pop out or something. I don't know.
For a game, again, that feels so lonely and it feels like such a singular experience and there's not a lot of, you know, other like external, I don't know, influences besides being on a radio. Yeah. How are they going to button this all up?
Yeah.
And put
weird.
A bow on it.
There was one cool, really cool moment where you wake up in the middle of the night. Do you remember that? And you mm-hmm. go to the thing. Jen, has this happened to you? If not, I won't say it.
No, I think it has.
And you go to the thing and you're like, and it's Julia. You're like, Julia? Like,
yes.
Hello? Like, and I was like, whoa, mm-hmm. is this happening? Is there like a ghost? Like what's happening? You know, and they only have done that kind of once so far. But I'm like, maybe I'm going crazy or something, or something's going to happen, you know? So I was like, that could be an interesting way that maybe they might stick the line. But I'm excited to find out what they do.
Yeah, I'm curious. And also that's an interesting moment to bring up too, because I wonder just the different paths that you could take. And if you didn't mention Julia at all,
right.
that would have been the one moment that would have made her part of a conversation, you know?
That's a good point.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, here's the question. Does Delilah really exist?
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
That's the Julia thing made me think. I was like, is this all just Delilah?
Does Henry have dementia? Like, yeah, right. You know?
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I'm thinking like is, okay, like is Delilah real, right? That's a question. The Julia thing made me think like maybe she's not and he's just talking to himself. Are we even out there in the wilderness?
Yeah, I'm skeptical.
To your point, Jen, like are we the ones with dementia? Are we in the hospital? Right?
I haven't seen any animals.
That's the thing. So, and everything seems kind of perfect, you know, like in the thing, in the world and all this stuff. It all seems kind of perfect.
Besides the raging fire, but we'll.
Right. But also like, even that is like far away in the distance. Maybe it's like, so I saw the raging fire. I was like, maybe it's like the heater is on too hot in this hospital room. You know, like really interesting, right? Like, wait a second, like what's going on? So I'm interested to see, I'm trying to think of ways, and I wish my stupid brain didn't do this, like try to figure out the narrative as I'm doing it. But like, I'm wondering like what's real, what's not. I love unreliable narrator games and books and stories and stuff. So we're going to see.
Yeah.
So next week we'll wrap it up.
That's right. So
yes, everyone catch up.
Yeah, we're going to finish the game before next week's episode. So do that with us and play along with us. And I have to say, like Largo Sensei on Twitter also said, I absolutely love how organic the entire experience was. Worth replaying, especially in different phases of our own lives. And that's a cool way. Because again, like I will say, I am finding things, especially in that opening, how it made me kind of have all the feels, you know, like, and I think if I was playing this when I was younger, I would have been like, this guy sucks, you know, but now I'm like, that's really sweet, you know, so.
And yeah, it's difficult decisions right off the bat. And yeah, I wonder how I would answer like 10 years, you know, 10 years younger and 10 years older.
Yeah. Dumper, man, move on. Who cares? You know, like Jesus, like, you know, I'm just be a terrible person. So there you go. Yeah. So the last installment of Game Book Club for Firewatch will happen next week's episode.
Yes.
Yeah, so there we go.
Yeah, everybody catch up. Catch up. We're almost there. And start thinking of maybe what you'd want to do next in Game Book Club. Any other games you have in mind. But that's it. You get the final update next week, and that's it for this week. So be sure to follow us at Good Game Nice Try on Twitter. Tweet us with all of your thoughts, your Firewatch updates, and everything else, and we'll see your beautiful faces next week.
And let me know if you guys agree about Pokemon, because I think those names are lame. I'm not a fan.
I want a new one.
I'm not scared of anti-Pokemon tweets or pro-Pokemon tweets. So hit us up at Good Game Nice Try. I want to know. I'm not the only person in the world that hates Pokemon. I know I'm not.
Hate's a strong word, Aaron.
And it's one that I chose very carefully. That's right. So anyway, and I know you guys both hate me for that opinion, but whatever. Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Eduardo Perez, with engineering and sound design by Chester Guazda. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. Special thanks to Lisa Berm. Music by John Danick. And Charizard is not a real thing. It's not a real thing. It's a fake animal.
Take that back.
It's real in my heart.
Yeah, well, your heart is full of blood. And so
take it back.
Take it back. Damn it.
18 Coco Production
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.